You know, I'd encourage you at this time, let's grab our outlines. Let's take a look at Mary. Let's look through the text that we have that we read earlier, and then also her testimony of faith itself. You know, the closer that you get to God, the more that you seek Him. One thing that I noticed in the video, I think they did a fine job of showing Mary how Mary loved God. Of course, she was gave birth to the Savior. And so she would just, as a mother, have a love for Jesus Christ. But what we see in Scripture is really just this amazing love, this amazing relationship that she had. And I want to share this with you because God really wants to use you. God really does. Maybe that's a new thought for you. I don't know if you've ever heard that before, but God wants to use you. That's why you're here in this world. That's exactly why you're here. That's exactly why you came to know Jesus Christ. It's because God wants to use you. He has a plan and He has a purpose for you. Some, it is big. Mary, she impacted all of creation. For some, it is smaller. We leave a lesser of a footprint, but we all do. And God wants us to do that with His strength and with His power. And, you know, what really matters is to be a servant and not a hindrance to the Lord in this lifetime. Advent is about preparing ourselves to meet the Lord. And what matters in your life when it's all said and done is preparing yourself and your heart to meet Jesus. Now, Mary was one that prepared her heart to serve God and to be His instrument in this world. There's a lot of misconceptions about Mary. I'll tell you the truth, in Scripture, not once does it tell us to worship her. It just doesn't tell us that. We're not to, it doesn't say that she was perfect. It doesn't say that she was sinless. It just says she was an ordinary person just like we were and are in Christ. And, you know, it doesn't tell us that, you know, there was anything particularly special about her. It's really what I would like to share is that it's her ordinariness that makes her important to us, because God took a very ordinary person and used her in an extraordinary way. And when we think of Mary, let's consider for a second God's choice. God's choice in Mary, because sometimes we think in order to serve God, in order to love God, we have to be a certain type or a certain way. For example, many people think when it comes to sharing God, we need to have some education. You need to have formal education. And even in our church, we are guilty of this. We used to do like special evangelism programs. So before you could go out and share your faith, you had to go through a special evangelism program. Now, nowhere in the Bible, Mary was not educated. She was completely uneducated, but yet she preached to the whole world. And so you don't need the education. Sometimes we think that we need that seminary education or something like that to be really used by God, and it's not true. God can use anybody. Now, for somebody who's going to preach or teach, or they're going to get into some office like that, yeah, you really need to get some formal understanding of what the Scriptures say and build upon them. But, you know, you don't have to be rich. You don't have to have a lot of money. Mary was totally poor. And James actually tells us, he says that the poor are rich in faith. And then he goes on to talk another part of Scripture. God tells us that you don't have to be mature, you can be a kid. And I heard a testimony about a week and a half ago. It was the most powerful thing I'd ever heard from a little 10-year-old. He was witnessing to his mom, telling his mom about faith, and it was had such an impact on the mom that the mom came to church after that, and it just shaped her whole heart and mind towards Jesus Christ. This was just a little child, and it says in the Psalms that you have taught children and babes to sing your praise. So God chose Mary because she trusted Him. And Mary had all sorts of fears, she had all sorts of worries, she had all sorts of anxieties. God takes notice of the heart. And Mary never let her fears control her. We can see that in the text. We see a little snippet of her life. This is what God wants us to see. regarding Mary. And the first thing that I would like to bring to mind is that Mary loved God. The very first point in your outline there is that Mary loved God. She had a heart and she had a passion for God. When the angel came and spoke to her, it says in the text that she was absolutely terrified. The word in Greek actually is petrified. We still use that today, petrified with fear. And that's how she felt. She felt overwhelmed. I'm sure anybody would feel like that. We don't always have an angel that shows up and talks to us. But you know, there's all sorts of fears that we would face. You know, and we probably would share some with her. So, for one, that she would have had the fear of criticism. She would have had the fear of actually following God. Because in their culture, and this is difficult for us to understand, she would have been stoned. That's what should have happened. And that would have been a very difficult thing for her to deal with. The fear of the supernatural. Do you have the difficulty in trusting God for what he might do? That this was a promise given to her. Can you believe that God can do something supernatural in your life? To help you find a job. To help you find a spouse. To help you in your family, in your marriage. Do you believe that God can do something supernatural? Because he does. And, you know, the fear of inadequacy. How much of the time do we feel inadequate for what we have to do? I mean, if we're honest, might not even want to share that with anybody. But honestly, deep down inside, we have this idea in our minds that we're not able to do the task. We might put on the mask and pretend like we do, but we know the feelings and we know our hearts. I'm sure she felt exactly the same way. You know, what she did, it's important for us to see. And the reason why I say it's loving God is you can see it in her expression. When she heard this, and we know that she was terrified, she turned that fear into worship. She turned that fear into praise. And she praised God instead. This is what I mean by loving God. You really don't know about the love of God until you get into a situation where you're tried and your faith actually becomes of some value to you. At that point, you see the meaning that you've placed on that. And at that point, your heart will cry out and you will cry out to God. She's an example of that. And she praised. Look at a couple things in her worship, because it really characterizes a love for God, a love that God creates in her heart. One, she had enthusiasm. She was enthusiastic about what God was going to do. Now, sometimes in our faith, you know, we will tend to want to see the negative side of things. We'll be dismal. We'll be down. We'll be listening to those dark clouds, whether it's from others or other people in our minds or other people in our lives, and we will not see with enthusiasm what God says he can do. Mary didn't see it like that. And she saw it very differently. There is also something very interesting. Apart from that enthusiasm, is there was a humility. There was a humility that knows that God is working in this situation. God is able to help me in this situation. You know, it's for us to sit back and just realize that God is in control. I do not have to worry about this. I can trust God. When I am tempted to sin, where do you turn? When you are needing leading and guidance, where do you turn? You see, that's what God is placing in your heart. That's what he's drawing us. And I can tell you, if you decide to stand for Jesus Christ, like if you say, okay, I want to do your will, and I pray that you do. Have you ever done that in your life? Have you ever actually gone to God and say, God, I want your will done in my life. I want your will first and foremost. That is such an important thing for us to do. And when you do that, I guarantee you there is a cost. You cannot do that without a cost. We don't talk about that always, but there is a cost. Mary paid a cost. She paid a cost in being ostracized. She paid a cost in shame. You know, ladies, can you imagine in your third trimester riding on a mule for how many miles? You know, I mean, really? I remember with our first one, Rachel, that Jill rode on a train with me for like 12, 14 hours. And I'm telling you, we got off that train and Jill's like, never again. I'm not getting on a train. I mean, it was just miserable. You know, see, this is what I'm talking about in a very practical way. Let's look at this in our everyday lives. There is a cost to following. There's a cost in our relationships, putting Christ first in them. There's a cost. There's a denial in that. There's something where we say, yes, I want this. Let me share better than any words that I could possibly share with you. Let me just recommend two movies to you, because they will sum it up far better than anything that I could share. And I would encourage you to watch these. The first one that I'd like to share with you, and I would really encourage you to write this down, is called Courageous. If you've never seen the movie Courageous, you need to watch it. You need to watch it because it's about four police officers that make a commitment to Jesus Christ. And they're Christians. They're not trying to earn God's salvation or anything like that, ridiculousness, where they're trying to work their way to heaven or something. It's got nothing to do with that. It's got to do with the fact that they know their lives need Christ, and they know their families need Christ. And they know, as police officers, which would be a very tough job, as police officers, they knew that they needed the strength of Christ in their job. And then they got together and they agreed that together they would support one another, like the small groups that we have in our church. They would get together and they would support one another and they would encourage one another and they would help one another. And it plays that out. And there are some tragedies that happen in their lives. It's actually very well done, and it helps us see what it costs to follow Jesus Christ. To say, I'm going to do your will. I'm going to walk with you. Because, you know, you got to keep in mind, Satan doesn't want you to do that. Your flesh doesn't want you to do that. And so God wants to bring that encouragement to you. He wants to lead you in that way. The second one that I want to share with you is a movie called Fireproof. If you've never seen Fireproof, I would encourage you to watch that. If you're a married couple or if you're thinking about getting married, really a great movie to watch. Because the guy in the movie, he knows that his marriage is falling apart. And he knows that he's to blame. And he realizes that, and he just really is seeking God. And his father comes into the picture and challenges him. Challenges him. Do you really care about your marriage? Do you really care about it? And he challenges him with it. And he gives him some things to do, and he goes to do it, but it shows you the cost because they don't work. And he just has to really just work at this. And it takes time and it takes effort, but you know, God is faithful. God is always faithful, and He will be faithful to us. He will encourage us, and He will help us. But I have to be honest with you. There's a cost. In your outlines, look at this verse with me together. It's a verse that Jesus Christ actually spoke. He tells us, whoever is not willing to carry the cross and follow me cannot be my follower. You know, Mary, I'm sure, saw what was ahead of her. As we were saying, there were some incredible challenges and difficulties that she had to deal with, and just met them in faith and in the love of God. And then he goes on to say, if you want to build a tower, the tower is you. The tower is your life that's being built in Jesus Christ. That's the tower. It's something that God is doing in you. And the cost you look at and you think of, okay, I have my will, I have God's will. There is a cost. And God is building that, and He will never give up on you. He will never turn away from you. He will encourage you. He will bless you. And that's why at Trinity, we have our groups that we're starting. We have another group that's meeting this afternoon, and we have other small groups that's meeting. I would encourage you to be part of those. There's one thing that we want to start in January. It's something especially for families. If you have young kids, it's My Faith Box Fellowship. I would encourage you to be part of it, and we'll share more with you. Because it's a way that you can really sow God's word and faith into your kids. And it's so important. We have such a little window of time to share that. And God wants us to. So I would encourage you in that way. You know, all of this is just built around one thing. It's built around the wonderful promises of God. And to do this is the last point. It takes courage. Mary found courage in the Lord. And courage does not mean that you're not afraid. It does not mean the absence of fear, because you're going to be, it's going to be difficult at times. That's true. Courage is moving ahead in spite of any of your fears, in spite of any of your worries. Courage is a product of believing in what God has said. It comes from believing what God has said. What has God said to you? What has He spoken into your life? What promises has He given you that He wants you to trust in, that He wants you to rely on? You see, those were things that Mary treasured in her heart. She held on to those. In your outlines, I put a verse from Psalm 119. It says, "Your promises are proven, so I, your servant, love them." Circle that word proven. That is a word in Hebrew. The word actually means to smelt. To smelt. That's what they do with ore. They do that with gold ore, with iron ore, with silver ore. They take it and they put it in a furnace and they smelt it. That's the word that's used in Hebrew. Now, for us, well, for the smelting process, rather, they do it, of course, to get all the impurities out, right? So they're removing all the things that aren't silver, all the things that aren't gold, all the things that they're after. You know, the impurities in our lives are our doubts, our fears, our worries, our temptations to sin, all the things that we would stack up, our Christmas to-do list. You've been out Christmas shopping. Jill and I were out Friday, and my goodness, that's trying. I could see it on the faces of the people that were shopping, especially as it got later in the day. You can tell people are like, "I've had enough." You know, all those impurities, really what's happening is God wants to remove, and He's removing away by faith in Jesus Christ and by trusting in His promises. Those promises, the Word of God creates faith and sustains faith within us. It encourages us. It leads us. Mary had every reason to be worried. Every reason in the world. But you know, what she did, and I would encourage you to do this, is don't worry, but worship instead. And don't panic, but rather instead, give it to prayer and give it to praise. Any time that you're afraid, any time that you are tempted to fall, you know, it just means simply that you have forgotten the promises of God, because they are greater than anything and they will lead you to the perfect and the wonderful will of God. And another thing that they do is they reveal to us the wonderful love of God and the encouragement and the grace that He has for us. The angel said, "Nothing is impossible for God." Jesus said, "Nothing is impossible for God." At Christmas time, you know, I would encourage you, we're all going to give gifts. We're all going to buy gifts. We're going to share them with our loved ones. Give Jesus a gift. The gift that you can give Him is your heart, is you. That's what you can give Him. Share that with Him. Let Him have it. Let Him shape it. Let Him mold it. Let Him give you a peace and an understanding of His presence and His goodness and His grace to you. How have God's promises been your hope and your strength? Give that some thought. List them out. Search them out. Go to God's Word and let them speak faith and encouragement to you. I pray that God would richly bless us and encourage us in His faith. And that He would help you, actually, in all the busyness that we have this time of year, that God is with you. And He would give you His encouragement and His grace and His love. In Jesus' name, amen.